So, we are at the time in the Mass when I'm normally done with my homily. So, you're going to be late to wherever you're going. Just tell me. Okay? So don't worry about it. It's very hard to preach when there is so much in the readings. There's all these little things that pop out as we read the readings. When everyone was saying to Jesus, you know, surely it is not I, Lord. Surely it is not I, Lord. Did you notice that Judas said, surely it is not I, Rabbi? Calling him teacher rather than Adonai. Gives us some insight into why Judas was able to betray him. He had come to the understanding that he was not God. Just a teacher, just a rabbi. There is much, my brothers and sisters. In this week, I would encourage you to pick up your Bibles. If you do not have one, you should get one. And when I say you should get one yesterday. Okay? Reread the text. Reread the passage during this week. See what you can see in these texts. First reading today, Jesus is spoken of through the prophet hundreds of years before Jesus was born. We see that probably in the prophet's life, a part of this was fulfilled, but clearly it is fulfilled in Jesus. It is almost a description of what he endures, his passion. But there's a part in there where he says, I have set my face like flint towards Jerusalem, towards the destiny, towards what it is that is coming. I had to look this up, I didn't know. You know, people use flint and steel to start a fire, old days, right? You understand, it is not the flint that chips in that. It is the steel that chips and burns. The flint is harder than the steel when it is struck. So when the prophet says, I've set my face like flint, it's even harder than steel. We see in everything that Jesus does, a choosing. My brothers and sisters, one thing, did you ever have a teacher do that? Where they're teaching, and they want to make sure you're paying attention to what it is that they're going to say because it's going to be on the test. It's going to be on the test, my brothers and sisters. The one thing you should see in this passion is that Jesus is doing all of this freely. He hands himself over freely. They cannot condemn him. The false witnesses against him cannot accuse him, cannot put him to death. It requires him to speak so that they can put him to death. And what he says is the truth. Are you the Son of God? Are you the Christ? You say so. He says that like three times in the gospel text. You say so. It is true. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds. And they're like, blasphemy. But it is not. He is God. He is the Messiah. He spoke the truth and they condemned him for it. Even the crime that was attached above his head, right? They put the accusation against him. The king of the Jews. Does that sound like a crime to you? Apparently, it is. In everything that Jesus does, he does it freely. He even says to the one who cuts off the high priest's servant's ear, put away your sword. If I needed backup, I could ask my father right now for it, and he would give it to me. Do you understand the difference in that? It's like, if Jesus asked for backup and his father said, no, hey, you're supposed to do this. I'm not going to give you backup. That's not what Jesus says. He says, I could ask right now and my father would give me backup. This is the will of his heavenly father and him. They are one. They're so beautifully one in this. His father would even respond to a prayer to deliver him from that moment. But Jesus says, but how will the scriptures be fulfilled? 12 legions of angels. One angel warrior could have kicked everyone's rear end in that place, let alone 12 legions. Did he say 12? I think it was 12. Anyway, it's a lot. It's a lot of firepower. Jesus is not forced to his cross. He is not forced to his death. He chooses it freely. And this is the point, my brothers and sisters. In your life, Jesus has set you free. He has set you free so that you too can choose the moment. Over and over we hear through scripture, my hour has not yet come, my hour has not yet come. Wake up, boys. You're sleeping. Wake up. That hour that I've been talking about, it's now here. Come on, let's go. He sounds like he's in complete control of the situation, and yet he's going to his death. The reason he sounds like he's in complete control is because he is. He is free. He is absolutely free. And for you and I, my brothers and sisters, we who have entered into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who have been washed clean in his baptism, water and repentance and the forgiveness of our sins, we have been set free as well. In the invitation for us to choose this moment. Now, what is the temptation? Well, the temptation is to be in the midst of trial and difficulty. Is trial and difficulty a part of life? Yes. Was it God's plan for trial and difficulty to be a part of life? No. The trial and difficulty of life is the consequence of sin. Right? I said this to someone earlier today. You cannot look at the artwork of someone let's say this way. You can't look at someone else's art and judge another artist. That makes no sense. To look at a Picasso and judge Michelangelo makes no sense. When we look at the life, this is created by sin. It's not created by God. God is not the artist of the world in which we live. And so the circumstances of our life so often get us in this mode of judgment, so often get us in the mode of escaping, of wishing, of hoping for something else, for something else, for something else. But the reality is, in all that Jesus has done, he has revealed this one thing, that he has come to be with us in life. Come down from the cross and we will believe in you. Escape together this reality and we will believe in you. No, I am entering into this reality, into your life, into your suffering, into your difficulty. This is where salvation is. And so the invitation for us in our freedom is to enter into this present moment. And when I say this present moment, I'm talking right now, right here in this place. Not 10 seconds from now, not 10 seconds ago. God is right here with us now. Which means that when we embrace the present moment with all of its difficulty, with all of its challenges, with all of its sufferings, with all of its lies, with all of its darkness, with all of its confusion, the solution is also right here in this present moment in Jesus Christ. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that means when we sit in the present moment and then say, there's no way, there's no way forward, Jesus is there as the way. When we say, look, all of these lies that are coming at me, all of these things that are falsely said that I don't understand how to navigate them, Jesus is the truth. And when we're in the present moment and all we see before us is death, he is the life. But we have to say yes to this present moment. We have to say yes to being here in this moment. Why? Because he is here. The temptation to run away from this present moment or to numb it so much that we can't even feel it is to numb the solution and to numb and to run and flee from the answer. To live in this world, my brothers and sisters, I wish it were different. I wish no suffering, no sin. One day it will be so. But right now it is not so. We live in a world that's been created by sin. In this world, there will be pain and suffering. And you can say amen to that because you know it was a part of your life, do you not? Amen. Jesus did not come into the world in order to liberate us from this world and to take us somewhere else. He came so that he would plant his flag in our world and that this world would transform and change in each one and every one of us, peace by piece by piece. The answer is within you, in Jesus Christ, in this moment. And so as we focus on his passion, as we focus on his difficulty, we recognize his freedom. Jesus has set us free. We too need to choose this present moment. When we choose the present moment, we don't say, hey, suffering is great. Give me some more. Can I get an extra helping of that? That's not what we're saying. What we are saying is that here in this moment, I must be here. Because right here is where Jesus is, and right here is the solution. Right here is the answer. I've shared this witness before, this testimony before, going and praying with someone who just found out they had stage 4 cancer, right? Praying with this woman, doing the anointing of the sick. She writes me a letter a few days later. Father, I do not know if I have been completely healed or if I will die. It doesn't matter now. In the prayer of the anointing of the sick, I encountered Jesus and received a peace that I have never known in my life. And it doesn't matter. That's exactly what I'm speaking about today. In this moment, in this place, Jesus Christ is here, right? Because he's not dead. Next Sunday we will celebrate. He's not dead. Right now, here, in this moment, Jesus Christ is. And when we have him, we have everything we need. Do you want the freedom? As that woman said, if I live or I die, it matters not. Then we have to say yes to this present moment. We can't run from it. We can't pretend it doesn't exist. We can't create a fantasy world in order to live in. We can't go, I wish it should be like this, it should be like that, it should be like this, it should be like that. We do that endeavor and we leave this present moment of what is. Do not be afraid to choose this moment. Because Jesus is here. Live or die matters not. Everything that I need, everything I desire, everything I want, the way, the truth, and the life is here in this moment. Of what should I be afraid? So an invitation for us to see in Jesus' passion and his choosing, an invitation for us to do the same. Again, it's not a choosing pain for the sake of pain. Give me another helping, please. I need more. No. Heavens forbid. No. No, thank you. But to know in this moment The Lord is here with me. One who knows, who knows, who knows the depth of suffering, of darkness, who knows it, and is here with me, that I am not alone. My brothers and sisters, you are never alone in Jesus Christ.